And what we love about Scotty this time of year is he's a dual threat. He's not only footy, he's racing. And, of course, the Drifters article yesterday, Jim, which you loved.
I loved.
Got us thinking that we need to have this man more.
In Zoolander, they call him a slashy.
A slashy?
Yes.
Slashy.
Football slash racing journalist.
Ah, yes. Well, welcome, Slashy.
Thank you. Yes. No, I live in the world of slash. You never pigeonhole yourself, James, in one area. You need a slash.
And that was
correct.
That was
correct.
apt on
Particularly
Saturday.
Particularly in my place. Yes.
Well, you were a drifter because you were with us, and then all of a sudden a message came through that you were a marquee type.
Yeah, that was disappointing.
I got
hoity-toity.
I must admit.
No, well, I had
never returned.
I had many things in play.
What happened?
And I was balancing them. And I thought, oh, I'll go and catch up. And I realised it's the other side of the world at Caulfield. We were in one side.
Yes.
And where I had to go was the other. And then I got there and was a bit puffed. And then I got caught, you know, drinking, talking. And then suddenly it's the last race and I had to make a call. And unfortunately, I gave you the flick. I'd spent 4 hours with you. I'd bonded like no man. I had bonded. Others in the party hadn't done a lot of bonding. Adam Ramanaskis. But anyway, we'll move on from that.
He wasn't doing a lot of bonding.
He was just planting himself in the one spot.
Move all day.
No, nothing. Fresh air.
Pot plant type situation. Mm.
Oh, arrogance. So, no, it was a very good day. Thank you to the TAB and others.
Yes,
very
absolutely.
Nice area.
Absolutely.
Who were the others?
I don't know. I thought there might be other people we had to...
People bringing out the food that Whitey wasn't eating?
Well, there was one good course. We never saw it again. Chicken. It only came out once.
It's like a KFC type setup.
To use racing terms, are you better for the run and building into a big spring yourself personally?
Oh, no, I set myself for these time of the year. I'm ready. I don't need fitness. I'm ready to go.
Caulfield Cup this weekend, you're primed and ready to go?
I'm going to the country because I'm a people's man, so I don't necessarily have to corporate every week.
You're Avoca Cup this week.
Avoca Cup.
You taking the people's horse with you just to feed carrots and give kid rides?
No, I'm on a bus trip with gentlemen.
Currently got wheels on the back of it, the people's horse.
Probably, 7:09 on Saturday. We might be drinking even by now. It's one of those sort of trips.
Drinking. Hydration.
It's a betting
important.
Syndicate. Breakup.
Avoca Cup Day is a good day.
Yeah, it's a great day.
Hang on, we discussed the betting syndicate, or the lack of leadership for the punters club. Were you a part of this punters club yesterday on the weekend?
The quaddie?
Yes.
Well, I presented some very large odds.
He did. Scotty was almost the hero.
Thank you. You can tell this story.
Vacillator.
100-1. I said, this will beat that superstar. It didn't quite beat the superstar. Ran second at 100s. Yeah, what happened to our winnings?
Wow. That's a topic for another day.
I got a messy message from someone in this area saying, we had it at Morphettville on the way. And that's the last I heard.
Yeah, no, Shut-In sort of was our undoing. Shut-In was our undoing in the end.
$1.75 pop.
Lost.
Fair to say, Zach Burton is banned from our world now.
Oh.
Which leads, because you are our racing expert.
That's correct.
Slashy, as we've established. You're actually going to use Punters Club money for something. You don't often get money back from a Punters Club.
No, but the gentleman in my Punters Club, my other one, they've punted really well, so I get the winnings. It's divided. It's a very good thing.
It would be if you make a profit.
No, these gentlemen do, whereas on Saturday we were a tad unlucky.
What about the Bombers? Are they unlucky? Can they get this deal done with Dylan Shield? Seems to have hit a snag, as they say.
That's a shock, Daniel, to everyone in the industry. That Essendon... When did we find out Shield was going there? Last week.
Yep.
And in a shock development on the day before deadline, they're at a incompasse. Is that what they call it?
Impasse?
That's it. They want... GWS say 2 first rounds, which I think is fair enough, given the way these deals have been going. Essendon's got 9 and 34. So, Adam, you're an expert in this field.
They need another pick between 18 and 25 for him.
Thank you, there it is.
But they don't obviously have that at the moment.
Futures. And then swap one back. That's how you get it done.
Yeah, so it becomes
two list managers.
It becomes 1.5.
I agree.
I think that's what it is.
You give two, get one back.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sort of scenario.
So we're starting to get to the sweaty jockstrap type. You know, it's Tuesday.
Do you believe that? All day. Or is it being held off for you, all of you, media types?
No.
To build the hype. You've got TV shows who are running now.
Oh, well, that's embarrassing.
We don't have the fax machines anymore going at Princess Park.
But the new sheriff in town arrives. See, this is Peter Bell, like ticker tape parade stuff. He arrives at Tullamarine. He holds the key to a lot of things. Lachie Neal to Brisbane, well, Hogan to Fremantle.
That's the most important one, and we've been saying it.
I know, from day dot.
Day dot.
And it seems to have not moved since day dot. Neal has.
So who's holding that up? Is that Freo or is it Brisbane not
Freo
coming to the
want
party?
More.
Freo want more.
What do they want? Which I don't agree with.
Well, Brisbane, as RSN understands, have offered have
club insiders. Staff say. Sorry, keep going.
Have offered their first pick, pick five.
Which is right.
Which he's is worth right. more than that.
Lachie Neal.
Yep.
And some pick swapping.
Is he worth
on.
More than Dylan Scheel?
He's worth the same.
Same, same.
But five's better than nine. Well,
it is, but I think Neal's 5 and 20, 5 and 22, something
yeah.
like that.
And yeah, and bring one back, but...
Are the Lions not coming to dance on that scenario?
Well, I think they think that's fair and reasonable. Whatever.
But this is the problem that we find ourselves in when contracted players nominate clubs to go to. It's all well and good to do that, but the club then thinks, the destination club thinks, well, we've got the whip hand here because they want to come to us. And so for the first week of trade week, they sort of feel like they've got the strong position. But at the end of the day, they're still a contracted player at the other club. Mm. So they then push back, and that's where we have this to-ing and fro-ing.
The one I can't see happening is Beams. Because all the mail is, you know, and the Beams side is saying it'd have to be an amazing deal for Brisbane to do it. I don't see what Collingwood's got that's amazing. Pick no, 19 or whatever. No,
superficially, I think 18. Yeah.
Superficially, they haven't got much.
That's what I mean. So,
unless they get moving on something in the next little while, which they need to get onto.
And can I just clear something up? Because a lot of people are saying, well, Collingwood don't have much because after they need a certain amount of draft picks to have enough points to get their two NGA Academy kids who
yep,
are
yes.
who are going to be high-end. They don't have to have enough points this year, so just explaining a bit of the system. You can go into deficit for next year now, which means, say they go into deficit in points.
Yep.
Next year, your second round pick, say maybe is pick 20, because you don't have enough points, they'll just get shifted back. So it's not necessarily a bad thing.
Beams is a really interesting one because he's 29 in February next year, so he's a bit older than, say, Wingard,
Neal
yep. and Scheel, who are also in that sort of 25 range, but he's the best player of those four, I would say. So what's he worth compared to what the others are worth?
Oh, he's worth less.
Because of his age.
Of his age. Yeah, it's obviously a quality player. We all know that, but he's worth less because of his age. And that's just.
But he's worth more than 19.
Yeah, so he's probably...
Is he?
I think so.
He's a good player, but his record and resume is terrific, but he's also...
Lachie Weller went for two.
He's also hitting on... No, it was a glitch.
That's an outlier.
That's a glitch. Oh, the Lachie Neal deal is a glitch.
How old was Bryce Gibbs when he went last year?
About the same age, 29, 30.
He's the goodest player as Bryce Gibbs.
And going to a grand finalist.
So that's then they ran 10th.
That's a fair point, Scotland. The Bryce Gibbs.
That's what I bring.
Link, well played.
Slashy.
It will be fascinating. And some of the controversy from the Brisbane camp saying that, oh, I'm not going to let him go. He's contract and all this stuff.
Yeah.
I don't like that from Brisbane. No. I don't like that from clubs because every club is ripping players out of other clubs contracted. But when somebody in contract of their club is going elsewhere, they're playing hardball. That doesn't seem to make sense to me, Jim.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, but a bit of the angst is coming for the fact that he had a heavily front-ended contract.
Mm. But this is not his problem.
Well, it is a bit of his problem now if he wants to get out of the club. And that's why
these are club problems.
Yeah, look. As you say,
it's a you problem, not a me problem.
Correct way. And I agree with you, but I'm just explaining why there's a little bit of angst that going, well, you've taken all your money now.
You're on nothing and now you're leaving.
Now you're trying to go get that money again somewhere else.
Mm. I can understand the tension, but again, this is club management issues as opposed to player problems.
Which I agree with.
Your point's a good one because I heard Port Adelaide's
Jason Cripps.
Yeah. I went Jamie. I thought that's not his name.
Premiership player.
He's a premiership player from West Coast.
Yeah, correct.
High half foot.
Jason Cripps say in the Chad Wingard thing, it's like, well, we understand it because we've gone and pinched players, so we're not getting up and about that Chad wants out, and we've got Dixon and other people, so we know how it works. But we still haven't heard from Ryan Burton, yay or nay.
He's currently at the tables in Vegas.
Yeah, I know. He said his fitness. Medical
at the tables.
At a day club in Vegas.
I was going to say in the Bellagio day club. Yeah.
On the rooftop bars that we've all seen.
What position is he going to play at Port Adelaide?
Oh, attacking halfback flanker?
No.
Maybe going to the midfield? Nope.
I reckon he's going to play wing or he's going to play forward.
He's going to play forward.
Forward?
Yeah.
I reckon he'll play forward.
When did he become a forward?
In junior football, that's what he was drafted as.
Yeah, but he's been trained, realigned.
Exactly, and maybe he'll be realigned to what he's actually been trained and drafted for.
Because it is an extraordinary situation that 3 weeks ago, Port Adelaide don't have Ryan Burton on the radar at all. Ryan Burton certainly doesn't have it on the radar playing at Port Adelaide. So all of a sudden they've got all these decisions they've got to make because of Chad Wingard choosing Hawthorn as opposed to choosing the Bulldogs.
It was good by Cripper, who, when it was asked the question, oh, who came up with Ryan Burton? No, not us. Like, just put it way back on Clarke.
Well, I must admit, as a former wearer of the number 5 at Hawthorn, the highly revered number 5, I'm a bit concerned about this trade. He's given the number 5, Ryan.
I think that'll recover pretty quickly if the Chad gets in the 5.
The Chad wins the 5. Sure. Chad's
not getting the 5.
Well, Tom Scully.
You've got to earn the 5.
Tom Scully?
Really?
Can we clear up the Tom Scully situation? Because we sort of talked about it yesterday, is how it is that Hawthorn are potentially getting Scully for a third round pick.
It calls for an AFL investigation.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, who are these people?
Oh, you know who.
Who are your types?
Whom? Oh, yeah. No, he's one of yours. Whom?
Your types.
Whom? One of your types. Whom? Shock jocks.
Whom?
Shock jocks. We're not mentioning.
But I think it's worth mentioning that Scully's ankle injury is a very serious
problem.
And there is still a doubt as to whether he'll ever get back to the footballer he was before the injury. And that's where there is significant risk attached to it, because he's still got 2 years left on a deal at the Giants worth good money. Now, Hawthorn, I understand, he's offering 4 years, so they'll absorb that contract plus give him an extra 2. But the risk is Giants are going, well, we've got salary cap issues. This guy might not get on the field next year and we carry that money, or do we actually just cut our losses now and do the deal to make it someone else's problem?
Is he the next Steve Johnson?
Well,
to be able to walk.
And he played another 200 games.
Tom, but I think I don't know whether Tom Scully has a lot of confidence in the Giants medical team on what has happened with his injury and the recovery.
But so pick 60 is okay because you sell that the ankle's bad, and then December 1, he's there sprinting laps, winning time trials.
Well, the thing with this is, the interesting part of this is there's no real resistance from the Giants, for this number. So they're seeing this as a fair deal for whatever reason.
As you
articulated.
Salary dumper.
Salary dump and significant injury. Well, 53 is not, but let's just get him out. Let's clear him out. Just get what we can and clear him out and just start again.
So I think Hawthorn understands that they're taking it. It's a buy beware type situation, that they're going to back their medical team in and whatever else, that they'll be able to get him up and going. But I think they're taking a more long-term approach with him rather than saying he's going to be brilliant next year. It might happen, I'm not sure.
Which is interesting too, because of course losing Andrew Russell to Carlton of recent weeks or last week, they haven't got anyone to take over that sort of high-performance strength and conditioning role. And he's been a megastar at that, Andrew Russell, through his 14 years at the club. So to getting a player like Scully into the system without having that head of performance, it's an interesting call,
too. Yeah, because, I made the comment last week that it looked to me that Hawthorn, maybe the system had caught up with them because of, that the drafting process and whatever else, because I just couldn't see how they were going to get players in. But if they get Wingard, Scully and Scrimshaw, which is what they're looking at, that's, add O'Meara and Mitchell to that, they're replenishing a different way.
Yeah, but I found that conversation interesting, the fact that, Hawthorn's always trading away the future and all that, but if you go through the guys that they've traded for their first round picks, they've been excellent in doing
absolutely.
This. Their track record speaks for itself. Gunston, O'Meara, they even used
Lake.
Brian Harris at the stage. He became Lake. Even Burgoyne, I think, was tied to some picks. They've been excellent at it. So I guess, to use the thing, I trust their decision-making and process the way they do it. They haven't had, really, apart from O'Rourke, which two clubs failed on. Like, two clubs used
Mitch Thorpe.
No, but that actually proves the point. They've used the draft.
Mm. And got it wrong.
Horribly. Bo Dowler.
Well,
there's no need to go. There's no need to go down this track.
They were together, weren't they?
Fine, young gentleman. 7:21. Scotty Gullins with us from the Herald Sun. He's our slasher. And we'll talk some racing with Scotty after the break as well. We'll talk about Sam Lloyd joining the Bulldogs. We're going to chat to Sam Power, by the way, the list manager of the Dogs, after 8. But we'll touch on it after this. Of course, we are T-minus 40 or so hours before the end of the AFL trade period, 8:30 tomorrow evening.
There wouldn't be a situation where deals would be delayed just for the prime time factor.
No doubt.
But prime time on what? It's not on TV, is it?
Yeah, it's everywhere.
I've got no idea.
Prime time on...
I assume it must be.
The lowdown? Yes.
Unless RSN's going live to it, no one's going to listen.
What about the lowdown? Is that on... Foxtel.
Oh. Well, check our local guys during the break, 22 past 7. 25 past 6. Slash a Gallon with us on a Tuesday morning. A bit of footy, a bit of racing, a bit of activity from our man Scotty from the Herald Sun. You can read all his work daily in the biggest selling newspaper in the country. Scotty, before we move on to the racing side of things, the Sam Lloyd.
Yes.
It's been talked about a lot. He's ended up at the Western Bulldogs.
Pick 64. I think it's a very good decision for both parties. He's the new... Tory Dixon, who's still on the list, but he's a bit older.
So, is Tory aware of this?
I was surprised Tory got re-signed, but that's good for him. So we're going to have two similar types, can play midfield, has that goal sense that only the unique ones have. I like it. And needed more opportunity.
Yep.
Very well liked at Richmond, etc., etc.
Yeah, very popular boy.
And I saw a good photo that he played Geelong Grammar or yes. College with...
Grammar. With Easton Wood.
With Easton Wood.
Yep. Yeah, strong grammar.
He hasn't changed much, Sam Lloyd. Easton looked a bit different. Wow. Not different, but harder to acknowledge. Sam just looked exactly like he looks now.
He did. Hasn't changed much at all. We're going to talk to Sam Power about that acquisition, amongst other conversation points with him after 8 o'clock, the list manager from the Western Bulldogs.
The trade lowdown is live tomorrow night on Fox from 7 till 9:30.
Is it?
Wow.
Moving cameras?
Well, I don't know, but... would appear there'll be some trades done.
How many panellists would they have? They'd probably be a dozen, probably, to comment on.
I don't think you'd describe them as panellists because there's no panel. There's just standing up type situation.
Oh, okay.
Is it like a siren goes off in a trade?
Yeah. Like a wedding with no tables, just the cocktail.
Will they be
situation.
At AFL House or in the studio?
Horse Divers. I'm not sure where they'll be.
They've got to be on location, surely.
They have to be on location somewhere in the corridors of power.
Next to the fax machine as it gets through.
We'll run out of paper.
tell us about what happened at Yucatan yesterday, please.
Yes, so he...
Focus on racing.
He got 2.5 kgs for that wonderful moment, the only very positive one of Saturday, when he was 20 lengths in front. And you know, I heard that interview on RSN that morning. This is why this station, people need to... always be on it.
Right.
Because the foreman, I don't know his name, Aiden's foreman, was talking a lot and I didn't understand much, very heavy accent.
Thick.
And then they go, well, what's your best? Yucatan. And it was just like, oh.
Didn't even think about
it. No. Just, it was a declaration and he knew what he's talking about. So we've given it 2.5 and it's not going to run. Lloyd Williams has decided no Caulfield Cup because it pulled up a bit sore, so backing up in 7 days. And the 2.5 means it'll get in the Melbourne Cup. It goes to number 24.
Greg Carpenter explained that yesterday. Yes. Let's have a listen to the chief handicapper.
He's now got 54.5 kilos and he moves to number 24 in the elimination order, which delivers him a spot in the race.
He said he'd never seen him in his time in 20 years or so, more impressive winner of that race. And therefore justified the 2.5 kilo penalty, which gets him into...
There'd been a few 2 kilogram penalties, but not the 2.5. I mean, that was extraordinary.
It was.
And even James McDonald, when he got off, he thought, oh, I've gone too fast here, and then he just kept going faster. It's pretty good when you're the jockey sitting on going, oh, I might have slaughtered this. Hang on.
And you win by 6. Yeah. He's down.
And then you stop riding for about 200 metres. It was amazing. And the internationals, they're going to throw these ones up at us. I think we're up against it this year.
Well, one of the conversation points on the back of what happened on the weekend is exactly that. Is it all over for the locals in the big races through the spring? It's all international considering what's happened.
Well, they're staying to, A, bring out more horses, B, run them in other races, not just the cups. Even sprinters are turning up. So Charlie Appleby and Godolphin, they're leading the way on, hang on, let's get down here. And earlier, give them a proper spring carnival and go against the locals and usually clean up by the look of it.
Seem to be having a pretty good result. Although, what is an international these days? Because Lloyd owns half of them anyway.
Well, that's an idiot. It hasn't stepped foot in Australia until 3 weeks ago. I don't call that a local. Poor old Lloyd.
Now, Charlie Appleby's not having a lot of at the moment.
Well, he is, but he keeps losing them. He brought plane loads of them, and now emotionless. It's ruled out of the spring carnival. and he lost one. Another one had to be put down. So while he brought a lot, he's starting to lose a few. Poor old Charlie.
No good there for Charlie. Hopefully, across Canada, won't be negatively affected by its...
But it's in the box for a couple of days, London fog style, not allowed to go anywhere. Well,
it's got wheels on the back.
Yeah, that's correct. But they're not ruling it. It should be okay, but emotionless definitely out.
Blue Sapphire Stakes Day tomorrow.
Very small field, Danielson. Six in the main race. We like this midweek meeting. It's always... Midweek punting.
Used to be 1,000 guineas, though.
They did the right thing by changing that because Saturday was a great day.
Yep.
But there's only six in it. Written by is the, it'll be $1.50 and.
$1.65 currently tapped up.
There you go. It will be hard to beat, but as you know, I can find outsiders, Adam. So
you see things more clearly than others.
Yeah, I did say that.
So did you obviously backed it way or the place or something like that?
We can move on.
Did you know that there was someone in the office that had a sizable go at the place?
No. In here?
Yes.
Where?
In this area.
You?
You did?
No, I didn't.
Oh. No, I was a bit emotional then because I'd lost all day and I was a bit sort of... frazzled. So I didn't have the Cornella, which paid $90 with the odds on. It was a horror. I was screaming for it to stop, to be honest, Morty. Like, it clearly wasn't going to win. I'd just run fourth. Ran second. 100-1.
It's one anyway, of those days. Moving on. Hey, Winx has just had a gallop at Moonee Valley this morning.
Has the mighty man?
Just pass that on.
How'd you go? Well, the latest did it.
Track record.
What are your thoughts on... You know, shock move that Chris Waller's Autumn Sun isn't running against Winx, which has got a few people sniff test.
Yeah, but I'm not sure it's a Chris Waller situation. I mean, John Massara say yesterday,
conveniently,
or read a comment from John Massara, the main man of Arrowfield, who bought a 50% share. There you go.
Convenient.
That he doesn't want to be the one to beat it.
Well, hello.
Mate.
You get one shot at it when you've got 49.5 as a 3-year-old.
Mate.
Go and beat it.
Cox Plains.
Does that take the gloss off Winx?
No, of course it doesn't.
It doesn't take the gloss off.
But if they're all don't, if they think they've got a chance of beating her, but they don't want to be the horse.
I thought it was an unusual comment from a man experienced in the industry.
But
yesterday.
Don't you want to be the horse to beat it?
Of course.
That's all right.
You go down forever.
Everyone will hate you for a day, but after that, you beat it. You beat Winx.
There's a lot of people in the industry and owners and trainers going, well, why wouldn't you run?
Well, this was the
because
quote.
You don't want Winx to lose and you train both.
This was the quote on Racing Pulse on RSN yesterday. I don't want to be the one that knocks her off if he was good enough.
Yeah. There you go. What the hell's that?
Ridiculous.
Tell you what, if Crimson and Clover was good enough and the campaign hadn't gone awry, which we're still not sure how that happened. Still not sure
where
how
is it?
Where is it, actually?
What
brother?
State? What's happened? Country? Is still it still in the country?
Still not sure how.
Is it Royal Melbourne program. Show sort of stuff?
Yeah.
No, she'll be...
You're feeding it carrot at it or a chaff bag?
She'll be producing future champions and you'll enjoy every one of them. No doubt. That's what she'll be doing. What is it? October? She'll be served by now, I reckon? What do you reckon?
I don't know. Maybe.
She'll be producing future champions. A bit like Meghan Markle.
Yes. Great result. How clever.
Great result.
Well, they get to Australia and declare it because they're miles away from Fleet Street and others, the haven of Australia, to declare. And I think in those folders that she had when she got off the plane was baby stuff.
She will be the second most prolific and profiled mother in the world after Clover, Megan, next year. Clover will be number one without a doubt. And Megan...
You've got to let go of your failed...
...will be number two.
Ownership.
Scotland.
Yes.
Nice to chat as always.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Look
good
forward
luck.
To seeing you again very soon. The Slasher, Scotty Gullen with us from the Herald Sun. Make sure you check out the score today. Some very interesting stuff. The Whisper. I'd like to get to the bottom of that, but he won't tell us because he never does.
Oh, it can reveal nothing.
We'll get to a break after that. Going to change tack a little while. Going to talk some cricket. And Tim Coyle, the coach of Tim Payne through Tassie years, about 9 years in charge of Tassie. We're going to find out what's made the man that is now the captain of the Australian cricket team. We'll do that after this on The Breakfast Club.